morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Great to be back with you here on Holy Spirit Radio. Man, do we have a good show for you today. But before we get into the program, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we pray St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's Amen. So important for us to remember, to turn to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we try to do everything ourselves, but if we ask the Holy Spirit to work through us, great things are going to happen. So try that today. It's a really complicated prayer. You know, that St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit, that's a good prayer. That is a very popular prayer here at Holy Spirit Radio. But you also can just say, come Holy Spirit. If you have something important to do, come Holy Spirit, help me. Let me know what I should say or do. I mean that. Try that today and see what happens. We have got a very interesting show today. Coming up on the program, we're going to be joined by an author. His name is Eric Sammons. He wrote a book called The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did. This book is not out yet. It's going to be coming out on May the 1st from Catholic Answers Press. Eric's going to come on and talk about the old evangelization. We don't hear a lot about that. We hear a lot about the new evangelization. And obviously the question that many of us have is, well, what's wrong with the old evangelization? Eric's going to come on and share with us some information about that. And also, I ran across an article on epicpew.com. The article highlights the new book containing some of Mother Angelica's wisdom. Specifically, this book is called Mother Angelica's Pearls of Wisdom on Suffering and Burnout. So you're going to really enjoy some of these quotes from Mother Angelica. This is something, surprisingly, as much as she means to me, I haven't done a lot with Mother Angelica on this show. So we want to really highlight some of her information, some of the quotes she has, suffering, burnout. She talks about worry, so you know that's near and dear to my heart. So we're going to talk about that as well. Let's see what else. We have our usual assortment of music. We also today, first of all, here's what I want to do. I want to introduce the very anxious Dave Parker. He's just chomping at the bit, ready to get going. Yeah,
good morning, everyone. Hi, Gary. Thank you. Hi, Frank.
Wait a minute. Oh. We don't want to jump the gun, Dave.
Okay.
Mr. Parker, good morning.
I will slow it down.
Our management representative, Mr. Frank Eliasson.
A management rep.
Uh-oh.
Our director of operations. All right, Frank, I probably should have cleared this with you before going on the air. But here we go. Okay, so Frank is, I've got his full attention now.
Frank, I better drink my coffee.
All right, Frank, here's the deal. I think it's been a long time since we've done a giveaway on this program.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, it has been a long time. There's so much fun for me.
So, what do you think?
Because you guys get to sit here on the air as I'm struggling to answer the phones.
Which one of us are you giving away, Gary?
That's a great song.
So, what do you think about the idea of, during our first break today, doing a giveaway?
I think it's about time.
Any ideas what we should give away?
I think we have some gift certificates to the dining car sitting in my office.
The dining car, the home the most fantastic scrapple in the area.
That was a great
area.
Breakfast, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. So don't call yet, but on the first break, be ready. There's going to be a giveaway happening today. It's been a while since we did this.
And
it's always fun.
And if you have a business and you want to do a giveaway, let me know. Give me a call. You know, frank@holyspiritradio.org call the station, 215-345-1570. You know, there's a lot of ways that you could support the station, and one of the ways, obviously, is prayer. That's the number one way.
Oh, yes.
But for those that wish to donate, you could certainly do that. For businesses who wish to underwrite is a great way of doing it, and I think there's a lot of different opportunities there. But maybe you're more simplistic. Well, then, maybe a donation of a giveaway could be something that could be fun during a show like this. And we have done them numerous times with CDs, And so I think then we have the dining car has given us some gift certificates when we were there doing our live remote. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing is we could do live remotes at businesses. You know, we had a
absolutely.
Lot of fun with doing that.
Hey, we cut our teeth on those. We're pretty good at them.
We are.
So, yeah, maybe some more in the near future. Who knows?
Oh, I have a few ideas.
Oh.
Wow. Ideas are good.
I like ideas. But no, so keep that in mind, the giveaways. And, yeah, we would like to come to your business. Mm-hmm. We would like to come to your school.
Yep. Absolutely.
We go anywhere we're invited, right?
That is correct. Exactly. It's a lot of fun. It gets to be out in the community like that. It's quite interesting. Mm-hmm. A little stressful for a few moments just as everything goes. But you know what? Once everything goes and we're on our normal pace, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. It is. It is. A lot of fun. And the people that stop by to say hello, I mean, it's always endearing, you know, and it's...
Yep.
It's very nice.
It is. And dining car, woman that you met, that you helped with her car, you know.
Good memory. Yes.
A lot of good things can happen when we meet people and, you know, get out there. So any chance that we have that opportunity. So there's a lot of ways that you can support Holy Spirit Radio.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we definitely certainly appreciate that support. First and foremost, there will always be prayers because we need them, trust me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. We really do.
Yeah, what are you looking at me for?
Time for Gary to reel this show in here.
You're losing control.
Help me, please.
Hey, you gave us a little bit of line, and we ran with it, buddy. No.
One thing that let's get control back. And by the way, I want to say hello to my friends over in Sewell, New Jersey. I am doing the last night of my parish mission there tonight, my Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry parish mission. A lot of interest in listening to the show. So people said they're going to tune in. So if you're listening to the show and you heard me at the parish mission, thank you for tuning in. Dave, I want to ask you a question. I asked Teresa Tomeo this question yesterday. How is your Lent going? I mean, we're just about at the halfway point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't think about that, and then we reach almost the end of Lent.
Yeah.
And we begin to panic and say, oh, no, how's my Lent? I'm not
exactly,
doing it.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. What did I set out to do during this Lent?
Right.
Well, let me answer. It's going well. I think I'm on pace for what I set out that I wanted to do. I wanted to be more prayerful during the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to just talk about it. And when the Spirit moves me, I just want to do more in terms of... alone time prayer, like when I'm driving up or I'm driving home, you know, I turn off the radio, and I say a prayer. Don't look at me that way, Frank, but no, but seriously, you know, not all the time. Then I put us back on, and I'm really trying to follow my Lenten plan. And then what's helping me also is, you know, the BLEs, you know, the best Lent evers.
Right. That's a great segment. I'm really enjoying that too. And that's an easy way to really help us, because we can lose focus during the Lenten season. We can lose focus. We can forget what the purpose is. And of course, the purpose is to try to grow closer to Christ. And if you're struggling with Lent this year, I would say don't panic. Still got plenty of time to go. This Sunday is the fourth Sunday of Lent. It's known as Laetare Sunday, so the priest can wear the rose-colored vestments.
Mm-hmm,
and
it's
a sign of hope. It's a sign that we're getting there.
Yeah,
we can see the finish line.
Hang in there, folks.
That's right. And just continue to take one day at a time. We're going to help you to really make this your best Lent ever. Just give it a try.
And real quickly, going back to what Teresa Tomeo said yesterday, and you know, yes, I mean, we can get knocked off our game, so to speak, and but we can always recover, and that's what her point was. And she gave kudos to her husband, Deacon. Her husband's a deacon, correct?
Deacon Dominic,
Deacon Dominic,
And Teresa was so transparent yesterday.
Yes.
That's what I love about her. She's so real.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She doesn't try to pretend.
You're like, she said, help.
Okay, time for the gospel. Let's take a look at the gospel from Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of the letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes we feel, and I've heard this happen, this has happened in my own life as well. Sometimes we seek a personal relationship with Jesus, which, by the way, is a very good thing. We're all called to do that. But we forget that Jesus founded a church. We have to remember that he founded a church, and yes, there are laws, there are teachings given to us not to restrict us, not to take our fun away, but to help us get to heaven. Why? Because if we didn't have some guidelines, and I am speaking from personal experience, if we didn't have some guidelines about how it is that we should live our faith each day, we're going to create our own version of Jesus. And here's what happens with that. Our own version of Jesus is not the real Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Our version of Jesus tells us, or tells me, that it's okay to not treat everybody nicely. It's okay to skip Mass on Sunday if I feel
mm-hmm.
like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to be a jerk, because it's justified, because Dave Parker was mean to me, so it was yeah. okay for me to yell at him.
It's, yeah, we right? mold him into how we want him to be.
Correct.
You know?
Correct. And Frank, you talk about this a lot. On the other hand, we can't just say, I go to church on Sunday, and that's it. I'm a good Catholic. We've got to live it.
Yeah, you have to live it in everything we do, in all the people that we're around. And I think that's actually the challenge in our faith. That's the mm-hmm. hardest part. It's
Absolutely.
So easy to do so many other yeah. things or yeah. to make excuses.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to live it.
Yeah,
And you know what? We're all going to falter in some ways. And, you know, we're human. We're going to make mistakes.
It's easy to pay lip service.
But
it is.
Know, ultimately, it's remembering that each mm-hmm. and every day that I need to live it. I need to live it in others. I need others to see it.
Yeah. And Jesus was very clear here when he's talking about whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. One of the toughest commandments that I find one of the toughest commandments is to love my enemies. And by me not loving my enemies, by me attacking my enemies and doing it in front of others, then I'm falling into this trap of teaching others that it's okay to treat other people in a bad way.
Absolutely,
I got to be really careful.
That's one of mine, too. You know, being former military, I mean, I want to go engage the enemy, you know.
And, right, but,
and,
right.
And there's a lot to that.
But that's not what Jesus wants us to do. Don't forget. Oh, I forgot the giveaway.
I was going to say, not too late to call. 215-345-1570. Third caller.
Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 22nd. Today we celebrate Saint Nicholas Owen. Nicholas Owen was a humble artisan who lived in England during the so-called penal times of 1559 to 1829, when Catholics were punished for practicing their faith. For almost 20 years, he used his skills to build secret hiding places for priests throughout the country. Working as both architect and builder, he constructed hiding places that went undetected by English raiders. Nicholas was a genius at finding and creating places of safety, subterranean passages, small spaces between walls, impenetrable recesses. He was fortified by receiving Eucharist daily. After many years of going about his unusual and dangerous work, Nicholas became a Jesuit lay brother, although, for obvious reasons, his connection with the Jesuits had to be kept secret. After a number of narrow escapes, he was finally caught in 1594. Despite brutal torture, Nicholas refused to disclose the names of other Catholics. He was released and resumed his work, but was arrested again in 1606. This time, after even more brutal torture, Nicholas suffered an agonizing death. He was canonized in 1970 as one of the 40 martyrs of England and Wales. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence I will live. All to Jesus I surrender. Save you, make me holy thine. Let me feel your Holy Spirit. Truly know that you are.
I Surrender All by Casting Crowns. I'm Gary Zimak. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning, and we have a winner.
We do.
Frank,
we do.
Peggy from St. Cyril's.
That's right, out of Chalfont. And it's a really funny quick story about giveaways. I was just at Archbishop Wood the other day. Congratulations. They're headed to the finals in basketball. Just impressive. But the other piece to that was I was talking to someone I used to do running for in high school. She's still there. And she's like, wait, you're with that station? It used to be WBUX. I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh, when I used to be home, I actually used to win their contests almost every day, you know, because I was home during the day. So it was quite funny, to have that conversation about these giveaways. So, you know, just things that happen in life all the time and are quite interesting.
Yes, so thank you for sharing that, and congratulations.
I'm watching hand movements.
Yeah, I know,
on
I know. And I'm like trying to talk to Frank and do hand movements at the same time.
Sign language was quite hysterical to watch, and I was trying to keep a straight face.
And the bottom line is, both Dave and I, we have no idea one another was communicating to
That was the thing. I knew what was being communicated, but
anyway,
ultimately, I got to... I just wish I had a camera watching that. Anyway, sorry.
Oh boy, we have with us right now Eric Sammons, an author who has written a new book called "The Old Evangelization: How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did." We hear so much about the new evangelization, but let's talk for a minute about the old evangelization. Eric, good morning, brother.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for coming on the show. I'm so excited about this new book coming from Catholic Answers Press. Coming May 1st, is that correct?
Yes, I think it might actually be a little bit earlier than that, maybe mid-April, but May 1st is the latest.
Great. Eric, this is such a novel approach. I really like this. In the book, you talk about how would Jesus evangelize, and in the introduction, you say that we hear a lot of comments, a lot of suggestions about how we should evangelize, and of course we should do it, but you mentioned that you've almost never heard anyone talk about how Jesus evangelized. I would agree with you on that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a lot of times in my experience of over a quarter century doing this, most of the advice usually is how can we emulate maybe a big company's marketing campaign?
Right.
Or maybe emulate some mega church pastor who gets a lot of people in. And really, though, it's like I thought everything we do in our discipleship with Christ should be modeling after Jesus. And I just never heard anybody talk about, well, how did Jesus evangelize? Because we often don't think of him as evangelizing, but really that's what he's doing all the time when he's encountering people like the Samaritan woman at the well or Mary Magdalene or whoever. He's evangelizing them. And so I thought, you know, what we really need to do is go back to the source, so to speak, to Jesus himself, and see how he evangelized and emulate that.
And in the book, you break it down. Each chapter tells the story of an encounter with someone and Jesus. Can you briefly go over some of these individuals who encountered Jesus as detailed in the book?
Yeah, and so what I do is, like you said, I go through an encounter Jesus has with a different person. For example, here's an example somebody might not think of, is the encounter with the rich young man. If you remember that, you know, he asks questions about how can he have eternal life, and Jesus tells him. And what happens at the end of that? He walks away.
Yes.
In a sense, Jesus failed to convert him. And I use that to remind us, when we evangelize, we're not just going for success, because that's the Holy Spirit's role.
Wow. Wow, that's important, but we all get caught up in that sometimes, don't we? We want to be successful.
Fortunately, people don't respond to that.
Yeah.
And what we do, I notice, is we try to model all our evangelization after just, we have to succeed, we have to succeed. But Jesus didn't even always, quote unquote, succeed in the sense that the person converted right there. So there's one example. Another is, like I mentioned, the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. She comes to him, at the well. He begins to talk to her. He draws her deeper and deeper into a knowledge of the faith. But then what happens? She's ready, perhaps, to convert, but he has to confront her sin, the fact that she has five husbands, and the man she's with now isn't even her husband.
Right.
And that's something we want to avoid today, that we don't want to ever confront.
Yeah, that's really true. Eric, in the book, you make the point, and you just made the point now as well.
So they will like us and then maybe become Christian, but that's not the way Jesus did it.
Oh, you know what, Eric? You just dropped off. We lost a chunk of you. Could you just repeat that point you just made?
I'm sorry about that, by the way.
No problem.
Just that we sometimes, when he talked to the Samaritan woman at the well,
yeah,
he had to confront her with her sin.
Yes.
He had to say, you know, you had five husbands, and the man you're with now isn't even your husband. Mm. And that's something we want to avoid doing today. We don't want to ever confront anybody with their sins, but yet, sometimes we have to. In order.
Well, Eric, you just dropped out again completely. Are you there still?
Yes.
Oh, okay. We're having some intermittent problems.
I'm sorry.
The point you made is a really good one. We don't want to really confront people with their sins, but sometimes we have to point it out, especially when we do it out of love. If we care about somebody, we just can't ignore if we see them about to fall off the cliff, correct?
That's right. Exactly. We sometimes have to say things that are uncomfortable for us to say, and uncomfortable for them to hear.
Exactly, exactly. And Jesus is the model, and that's why we do follow him. You mentioned in the book that, and you just mentioned it a few minutes ago as well, that we often model our evangelization techniques after corporate marketing or Protestant megachurches. Now, in doing that, let me ask you, what is the danger in using that approach? What do we miss?
I think what we really miss is that we're not trying to sell somebody a product and just get them to become part of our...
We are having some major troubles with the phone lines.
Campaign. Are you still there?
Yeah, we're there, but we keep losing you.
I'm sorry.
I don't know if the problem's on our end or on your end.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I usually have a pretty good connection, but I apologize for that.
Oh, no problem. No problem. So you were saying about the danger when we use the marketing approach or the megachurch approach.
Right. A marketing approach, often what it does, it just wants to bring in people that already are going to be maybe already part of the group. Like, you wouldn't sell an economy card to rich people.
Yes.
But what we do is we want to bring in everybody, but we need to have them convert their entire lives to us.
Right.
They have to change who they are. And that goes way beyond marketing. And it really needs, and it sometimes goes against what a marketing campaign would do. And so that's what we need to do, is think about the fact that the Holy Spirit's working in us, and that we will have to say things sometimes that challenge people.
Mm-hmm.
We will have to say things sometimes that goes against what the culture wants us to believe.
Right.
You know, marketing often is very politically correct. We are going to be very politically incorrect at times in our evangelization.
Right. And one of the things, I guess one of the dangers that can happen when we do that, when we try to be politically correct or try to be too soft with our evangelization, we can ignore some of the teachings of the church, which is a real mistake.
Absolutely. And that's what I was saying about, we don't want, a lot of times these mega churches, they soften all the teachings.
Yes.
or they dumb them down. We might have to tell somebody about transubstantiation that, yes,
yeah,
the Eucharist really is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's not just a symbol. And that might be difficult for them to understand at first. I mean, we saw what happened when Jesus first did that. What happened? People walked away from him. And so what we have to do is we need to explain that more deeply to get them to understand, to help them to understand that.
Because that's something we certainly don't want to ignore. That is a major teaching of our faith, and that's, if you're going to try to encounter Jesus, transubstantiation is rather important.
Right, exactly. But, and so we don't want to just kind of gloss over those things, because Jesus didn't. And sure enough, when he did that, a lot of his disciples left him. But yet it brought his other disciples closer to him.
Eric, I really want to thank you for joining us today. Looking at this book, I think I highly recommend this, because this is such a novel approach. And for those of us who really do care about evangelizing, I really recommend that that everyone pick up a copy of this book. If somebody wants to order it, Eric, or maybe follow you online, where is the best place to get the book and to find out more about your work?
They can order it online. Just go to Catholic.com, Catholic Answers website,
right.
Catholic.com, and you'll be able to purchase it there already for pre-order. And if you want to find out more about me, my website is just ericsammons.com.
Excellent. By the way, Lori from Our Lady of Light in Florida said to tell you hi. I was down there last week. She said to tell you that they miss you down there as well.
Oh, I miss them too. Lori was great. He's just a great worker for the church.
Yes. Eric Sammons, so are you. Thank you so much for joining us. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you, Gary. God bless
All right,
you.
God bless you as well. That's Eric Sammons talking about his new book, The Old Evangelization, How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did. When we come back, we're going to share some wisdom from Mother Angelica. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit radio news update. Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch told a Senate confirmation hearing yesterday that he's made no promises to Donald Trump or anyone else about how he'll vote on abortion. While campaigning, Trump said he intended to appoint justices who would overturn Roe v. Wade. But Gorsuch said yesterday, quote, Roe v. Wade, decided in 1973, is a precedent of the United States Supreme Court. It has been reaffirmed. and all of the other factors that go into analyzing precedent have to be considered. Going on to say, a good judge will consider it as precedent of the U.S. Supreme Court, worthy as treatment of precedent like any other. Meanwhile, those confirmation hearings continue into a third day today. Republicans predict he will win confirmation, but a growing number of Democrats are calling for his confirmation to be delayed because of the FBI investigation of ties between Trump's presidential campaign and Russia. Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley says that's ridiculous. President Trump is expected to continue hunting for support for the Republican replacement for Obamacare a day before a vote in the House. Yesterday, Trump told Republicans that if they didn't pass the bill, there could be political costs. Top GOP have been making changes to the plan in hopes of winning over more Republicans. Trump told them a loss is not acceptable. And just too easy. That's what a lot of students from other countries think of American high schools. Foreign students studying in the U.S. say the classes are easier, there's less homework, and lots of sports. 259 exchange students were surveyed last spring, and 66% said classes in the U.S. are much easier. 44% said they spent much less time on schoolwork. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
You're listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes. Thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Today I'd like to share with you an excerpt from A Christopher Prayer for Fathers. Heavenly Father, bless our earthly fathers for the many times they reflected the love, strength, wisdom, and mercy that you exemplify in your relationship with us. We honor our fathers for teaching us to show courage and determination in the face of adversity, for modeling the qualities that would turn us into responsible, caring adults. Not all our fathers lived up to these ideals. Give them the grace to learn from their mistakes. Give us the grace to forgive them. We pray that our fathers who have passed into the next life have been welcomed into your loving embrace and that our family will one day be reunited in your heavenly kingdom. Amen. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
tonight. I never slowed down, or so it seems, but singing my heart is one of my dreams. All I gotta do is hold on tight. There is hope.
That's Wait and See by Brandon Heath. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. Right now, let's take a quick look at the weather. Current temperature at the Philadelphia International Airport, 46 degrees. Today, sunny. But listen to this. We're going to have a high near 42. Wait a minute. 46 with a high near 42? Yes. That means the temperatures are going down. Oh. Tonight, it's going to be clear with a low around 21.
Wow.
Mr. 21. Parker, get your blanket ready.
Okay. Winter it's is always bad. Ready.
Well, you know what, Frank? Listen, Thursday, it's going to be sunny with a high near 45, right? Thursday night, low around 30. But let's fast forward to Saturday, mostly cloudy with a high near 71.
Wow.
Okay, so
all
relax.
Right.
Okay, it's going to be okay.
Yeah. What a roller coaster, folks.
Yeah, I know.
Tis the season.
That's right. My thanks to Eric Sammons. We apologize for some of the phone problems. That I think that was something with his phone line. He kept cutting out. But what a great book, The Old Evangelization.
Yes.
Evangelizing Like Jesus Did.
Yeah. He had some very good points,
great
different
concept.
Perspectives.
Yes.
I thought it was great.
Now, what I wanted to do in this segment is I ran across an article on epicpew.com. They have some really good articles there. And on there is an article by Laura Hensley. And what she did was summarize, or she extracted some quotes from Mother Angelica's new book. And what EWTN is doing is taking some of the many writings of Mother Angelica and putting out new books with some very, very good information. So they have a new book out called Mother Angelica's Pearls of Wisdom on Suffering and Burnout.
Wow.
That title just attracted me. And what the author did was highlight some of these quotes from Mother Angelica. So Dave and Frank, I'm just going to read some of these, and we'll talk about them because they're powerful. Mm-hmm. On suffering, Mother Angelica said this. And by the way, these messages were written before Mother started her extreme period of suffering. Mother was always suffering. She had numerous ailments, but these were written before she had her serious, serious suffering toward the end of her life. Mother said this, "Suffering is something we love to talk about when it's ours, but dislike hearing about it when it belongs to someone else. We can see it work wonders in the lives of others, but have no use for it in our own life. We can see the wisdom of God chastising our enemies, but think him cruel when we are afflicted." Interesting to think about that. I look at your suffering, Dave, in a different way than I look at my own suffering.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about my suffering all the time and all that I'm going through. But Dave Parker, you know, you just need to suck it up.
Really.
You just need to get
exactly.
a little tougher.
Exactly. Yeah, well, I think that's part of human nature. We want to, you know, we can empathize, but then and we want you to really walk in our shoes. But we don't do that all the time with those that we see are suffering.
Yes, I agree. Now, Frank, I have one for you here. Preemptive or preventative suffering. Mother said this, "How many times have we implored God for some favor with great fervor, only to suffer the most crushing disappointment? Months or years later, our hearts break out in prayers of thanksgiving when we look back and realize that the acquisition of such a favor, in quotes, would have been disastrous." Sometimes we look back on disappointments in our lives, and we realize they are great answers to our prayers.
They are, and we don't necessarily, at the time, it may seem painful or it may seem hard, but we don't necessarily learn from them or what we glean from them in our life. And I think history, as you go years later, you look back, go, wait a second.
Yeah.
What a pivotal point that was for me.
Absolutely.
And how that helped me do this, this, or that. You know, ultimately, there's a lot of grace that we receive in so many ways.
Yeah.
You know, but we don't always see it. And we may not see it at the time, and we may see it as suffering.
And sometimes we say, just as our Lord did when he asked that Father, you know, remove this cross from me, remove this from suffering, but we know God did not. But Jesus was even asking his Father, if it be your will, remove this from me.
And that's a great prayer and a great example for us and a reminder. When I go out and I speak, I always mention this. It's okay to ask the Lord to take your suffering away. Mm-hmm. It's okay to say, Lord, please remove this cross. But then we need to really imitate Jesus and say, but not as I will, but ultimately it's your call, Lord.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's hard. Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to feel it when you say those words, but say them anyway.
Yeah.
And there's great grace in doing that. Here's another one, overcoming dryness. Anybody ever have dryness in prayer where you just think like, ugh.
Oh, never.
This is drudgery. Okay, next question.
Yeah.
Well, we know where.
It's actually making me laugh because one of the things that most people on the show at this point know I have two daughters and my third grader. One of the projects they're doing in school is marketing of the commandments.
Hmm.
And so she's marketing, you know, to honor the Sabbath.
I know a good consultant.
It's really funny. Well, you know, in knowing her, you know, she put together this bottle and it's all perfect with, you know, and whatnot. But it's called Sabbath spray to spray.
That's really interesting.
To want to go to church. But, you know, ultimately, it's all these things can be very, very difficult for us. And, you know, you have to find ways to bring it out from yourself and bring yourself out from it. And I think sometimes children do that because their innocence and the way they look at
things. What a novel approach. I like that.
Yeah, you know, their innocence helps us in so many ways. And you sit there and go, oh, that can help me move past this.
And I think it's important to recognize that it's okay to have spiritual dryness. We all have
That's
it.
Right.
Teresa Tommy was really honest. But listen to what Mother said about this on dryness in prayer. There are times in our life when God seems very close. The sun of his love shines brightly. There are times, however, when his presence fades away like a morning mist and we find ourselves shivering from the cold. though the whole world were to love and applaud us, it would all be as nothing for the sunshine in our life. God seems gone and our souls cannot be consoled except by him. This dryness is like a spiritual anesthetic. It numbs our soul while the master sculptor shapes it into his image.
Wow.
Mother is really deep. Yeah. I love these books that EWTN is putting out.
And everything she did was just so incredible because, you know, she wasn't always preaching at you or didn't feel that way. She actually just felt like she knew you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going to say, well, not to detract or take away from Mother Angelica, look at St. Teresa of Calcutta. And we found out years later the dryness she experienced.
Incredible dryness, but she kept going. I want to do one more before we go to break. The darkness of worry. So this one really touches me. Mother said this, "We may not think of worry as a spiritual hangover, but it is. Worry is the result of a lack of trust in God's care and providence. Some souls are in a state of perpetual worry. Their entire lives are spent between dusk and midnight, for they never see the dawn of new horizons or the bright sun of God's love and providence. This state of worry is what Jesus warned us about."
Ouch.
Yeah,
wow.
I know.
Wow.
I know. So if you are interested, this book is called Mother Angelica's Pearls of Wisdom on Suffering and Burnout. You can find it at EWTN Religious Catalog, EWTNRC.com. Check it out. I highly recommend it. I'm going to have to get myself a copy. It's great to hear from Mother. So even though she's not with us on earth anymore, her wisdom continues.
But we're at EWTN together, and she's with us.
That's right. That's right. That's right. She is. So we're going to do Best Lent Ever in a few seconds. Ah, there's my music. It's coming. Best Lent Ever, another song, and then your Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned.
Love is what we come here for. The kind that won't be fading.
This is the audio from today's Dynamic Catholic's Best Lent Ever Daily Reflection featuring Matthew Kelly.
It's so easy to waste life, you know, and we don't waste life a decade at a time. We don't waste life a week at a time, a month at a time. We tend to waste life in moments. It's in those moments where we talk a lot about people's lives changing, or people will say to me, wow, that book really changed my life, or the work you guys are doing at Dynamic Catholic is really life-changing. But when you think about it, people don't change that much, you know? Do you know anyone in your life who has really changed their life? Who has really said, no, I'm fed up, I'm dissatisfied, and gone on a radically different path? It doesn't happen that often, you know? And I think that it should happen more often than it does. And the reason it doesn't happen is because we're incredibly comfortable wasting life. We're incredibly comfortable wasting an hour here, wasting a day there, wasting a week. And to get out of that thinking is very, very important. And it's the thinking of the champions. It's the thinking of the saints. You know, you think about, well, the Olympics. The difference between a gold medal and a silver medal can be a tenth of a second. And they use that to motivate themselves. They use that to motivate themselves. When they're thinking, oh, I don't want to go to training today, or I don't want to go to my third training for the day today. Feel like blowing it off, feel like procrastinating. You think about how short life is, and think about how long eternity is. You know, do we think about heaven? Do we think about eternity? Do we think about, you know, what moments in our lives make the difference between what matters most and what matters least? And how will we see life differently when we're on the other side? And how will we regret the moments we wasted? Because we do waste life, and man, that is a tragedy. As a tragedy, you talk to someone who's dying and you ask them, you know, what would you give for another day, you know, another healthy day to do whatever you felt you wanted to do or needed to do? What would you give for that? You ask that person, they know how important a life is. They know how important a day is. That's your day today. Go out and get it. Go out and get it. Do not waste a single moment today. Just today. Don't worry about tomorrow, the next day, the next week, the next. Just today. Get out there. Get a hold of life. Do not waste a single moment today.
That was Matthew Kelly with Dynamic Catholic's Best Lent Ever Daily Reflection. You can experience your best Lent ever by signing up for Dynamic Catholic's free video-based program by going to bestlentever.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the morning with Gary Simak.
Was Hurricane by Natalie Grant. Thanks for listening. I'm Gary Zimak, and this is Spirit in the Morning. All right, time for your Be Not Afraid Bible verse. If you're feeling a little stressed out, listen to this. It comes from the book of Zephaniah, one of the lesser-known prophets in the Old Testament. Zephaniah 3:16. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, Zion. Do not be discouraged." How's that for a simple message from the Lord?
That's it?
Yeah. From us today. And you know what?
Straight up.
Here's what I like about it. Yeah. Here's what I like about the Lord and why I think he knows why he's a good speaker.
Tell us, Gary.
Yeah. But this is something obvious that we could forget. If he's saying, do not fear, do not be discouraged, yeah, it must be possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
How
yeah
is it possible? It's possible by sticking very close to him.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't say, be not afraid, if it was impossible to be afraid. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we think, there's no way I'll ever be able to overcome fear. Yes, you can, but you're going to have to lean on him heavily. You lean on him heavily each day, each moment of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, as Matthew Kelly made the point in that Best Let Ever segment, don't waste a minute. We waste so much time.
Yeah.
And like he said, today, just focus on today.
Absolutely.
That's all we're guaranteed. This yeah the moment, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say also, it's so simplistic what Jesus said. And think of what his mom said, what Mother Mary said. Do as he tells you.
Mm-hmm.
How easy is that? I mean, if only we did that. You
right
know?
And they were her last recorded words in Scripture. She
yeah
she was not recorded as ever saying another word. What else could she say at that point? Do
yeah
whatever he tells you. That's the way we get to heaven.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But again, sometimes it's so simple we let it go in one ear and out the other. We've heard it before. And
absolutely, yeah, yeah.
We overcomplicate things. We overcomplicate things sometimes. So that's your Be Not Afraid Bible verse. By the way, each of these verses comes from my new book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. You can get it from dynamiccatholic.com, or you can visit my website, followingthetruth.com, and pick it up there. Mr. Eliason, do we have a tweet from Pope Francis?
We do have a tweet from Pope Francis. He put this out yesterday, and I love his tweets because they all have such simple but
yep
sometimes deep messages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this one: it is vital that we sow the seeds of goodness in order to cultivate justice, foster accord, and sustain integration without growing weary. There's so much in this short tweet. You know, if you think about it, sow the seeds of goodness in order to cultivate justice?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a second.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so often, you know, it's so easy to judge and so easy to, you know, demand justice, but, you know, sow the seeds of goodness first.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as in, you know, when we're in this divided world that we're sometimes in, you know, we don't necessarily hear the other side or, mm-hmm. you know, and they, or we go at them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, maybe there's other ways to do it and show them through goodness.
Absolutely.
Because that allows that conversation
exactly.
to actually get
yeah.
somewhere.
It can defuse the situation, you know.
Exactly.
If we let our shields down, so to speak.
Exactly. And that's where we get to that integration piece.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about it, you know, and you know, we are in the springtime, so this is the time to start sowing those seeds, sowing the seeds of our own life, and allowing these flowers to grow. And I think it's a good time to kind of take that step back and just, what would Jesus do?
Frank, that's a really important message. We've talked about this before, and you've helped me with that because you've said this a lot. You're really sensitive to what you're seeing on social media.
It's my background.
But it is. But it's such a good point. Even if you disagree with somebody, or even if you understand that their position is contradicting what Jesus said, you don't necessarily have to attack them.
Right.
You do it gradually. You listen to them at least. Yeah. That's so lacking in today's world. People don't listen to anybody anymore.
They don't. And if you really peel the onion on a lot of things, you'd find that people are closer together than they realize, but they won't see it because, you know, ultimately what happens, you know, they say something negative, you attack back.
Mm-hmm.
It then puts them on the defensive.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they'll never hear what you're saying.
No.
And no one ever realizes how close we really are.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes it's not bad to take a step back
and then
basically say, how do I sow the seeds in this person's heart?
If we were honest with ourselves, I think through prayer, if we would just pray, sincerely pray for wisdom before opening our mouths. How many times have I...
It's easier to open my mouth.
That might have applied to me, Barbara, right?
It's easier to open our mouth and say something.
I'm trying to tally this up. How many times Dave Parker opened his mouth without praying? Oh, man, I need a calculator.
Yeah,
but seriously, Dave, that's such
issued
a,
forth.
That's such a good point. We don't, though. We forget to say, okay, Holy Spirit, help me. Let me know what I should say or what I should not say. It's so easy to just get caught up in the moment.
We've all made those mistakes.
Yeah.
I make those mistakes. And sometimes it feels like I make those mistakes every day. You know, these things happen.
But we have the Lenten season to work on that. We can try to work on that to get better. And, you know, as Matthew Kelly has said on the program today, work on the present moment today. Don't worry about what you did tomorrow or what you did yesterday or what you'll do tomorrow. Focus on today. Before I close with prayer, I just want to point out tomorrow on the program, we're going to be joined by author Pat Gone. She wrote a new book called All In, Why It Really Matters to Be Part of the Catholic Church. This is a great new book. She's going to be here. And our friend Jimmy Akin from Catholic Answers will be joining us too.
Yay.
So he's going to talk about his new book. He has a great new book out at 365 Meditations or different defenses of the faith. So if you're trying to learn to be a better Catholic apologist, learn more about your faith, Jimmy's got a message for each day of the year. So we're going to have him on the program. Let's close the show with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant, we pray, O Lord, that schooled through Lenten observance and nourished by your word, through holy restraint, we may be devoted to you with all our heart, and may be ever united in prayer through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Dave Parker, Frank Eliason, whatever your name is. I got to work on that.
I was going to say, Frank, thanks for unpacking that Pope, that simplistic Pope
tweet. That was a great message, wasn't
tweet.
It, Frank?
Yeah.
I enjoy them.
Anyway, thank you for listening. Remember, wherever you go today, the Lord is with you. Turn around and say hi. I'm Gary Zimak. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.